Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Thanks, guys. That's a great song, isn't it?
Wonderful.
What a brilliant song. Excellent. Thanks, guys. Well, last weekend, Jane and I were up in Scarborough with Kingdom Faith Yorkshire and part of the This 13 conference that was taking place. And it's a conference that happens once a year with churches from across Scarborough and the area. And there's a great momentum building in the town up there. And the churches are meeting together regularly to pray. Leaders are meeting every other week to pray together. And one of the sessions in the conference, there were about 15 leaders from different churches that were on the platform for a one-hour kind of worship and prayer hour, praying for the town. And you had, you know, an Anglican, URC, Baptist, a Catholic, some non-denominational church leaders. And it's great, you know, because it's very kingdom focused in terms of what God is doing up there. And there's some real favour in Scarborough, not just with Kingdom Faith Church up there, but with the other churches, and they're working together. Great favour in the town with the council, and with different businesses just reaching out in different ways, and people getting saved. Great release of the presence of God that's going on up there. One of the things that Paul said to me when we were chatting was, he said he's just aware of the tangible presence of God that's with him all the time when he's walking around town, when he's going about what is happening. And he said, I don't think I've ever been in a time like this where I've, in my everyday life, I literally can feel the tangible presence of God with me. And that's awesome, isn't it? So it's great being up with those guys. They're doing a really great job up there. Seeing God do some great things. And they send their love and their greetings to all of us down here. So it's going to be great to be together at Faith Camp with all the Yorkshire guys and with the guys from Taunton, London, and other related churches around the nation and from overseas. So it's going to be a brilliant week. Looking forward to Faith Camp and what God's going to be doing. Are you? Brilliant. Now, last week, Pastor Colin spoke about Jesus is Lord. That was a phenomenal word, wasn't it? If you weren't here, it's worth having a listen on the website. Go to the watch and listen pages and have a listen to last week's message. We're kicking off a whole new series from last week, really focused on Jesus. And the last few months, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be a people of the Spirit and live in the life of the Spirit? But as we're going forward for the next few months, we're going to look at who is Jesus, or Jesus is Lord. Today we're going to look at Jesus is the power of God. Jesus is the power of God. So we're going to get into the Word in a few minutes and have a look and see what the Word says about Jesus. But also, what does that then mean for us as followers of Jesus? Being filled with the power of God. What does that look like? What does that mean in our lives? So we're going to have a, just dig into the Word for a bit and see what God wants to say. But then we're going to have some activation. God wants to heal some people this morning, do some stuff. Is that all right? Yeah. So we want to have three W's on our Sundays: worship, word, and wonders. So that what God can do whatever he wants to do at any given stage during our meetings, and each week will be slightly different to the next in terms of how God wants to work. But we want to give space for God to work and to move in people's lives. Is that right? There's lots of empty chairs. We've gone to two services. And there's lots of people that don't know Jesus yet that need to fill these chairs. Is that right? And they're only going to be brought by people like you and me. And we want to see this place full over the next few weeks and months of people coming to know Jesus, being healed, being set free, people that you and I are going to be discipling, going to be working with to really see grow as followers of Jesus. So let's dig into the Word and have a look. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll look at verses 18 to 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 18 to 24. Jesus, the power of God. So let's just see what the Word says, and then we're going to just unpack a little bit what this looks like. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. And we could read on. Paul here is speaking to, when he writes to the Corinthians, he's speaking to both Jews and Gentiles. And he's basically kind of saying, he's talking about two key things in these verses. He's speaking to the Jews who were always looking for supernatural signs. If you look through the Gospels, there were many times when the religious people in particular, but Jews came to Jesus and they said, show us a sign. Show us a sign that if you are who you are, show us a sign to prove it. They were always looking for some miraculous sign, some supernatural sign. The Greeks or the Gentiles, because they reasoned everything and they were really into philosophy, Paul speaks here saying that Christ is the power of God. So he's saying to the Jews, yes, he is the power of God, but also to the Greeks, he's saying Jesus is the wisdom of God also. Now, why did Paul say those two things, that Jesus is the power of God and he is the wisdom of God? How many of you know that if somebody has power but no wisdom, potentially that's dangerous? You get some guy leading a nation who's an autocrat or whatever, and he's got a lot of power, it can cause a lot of damage. The same way, if you have a lot of wisdom, but there's no outlet or channel for that wisdom to have influence or to affect things, then in one sense, the wisdom is powerless. And so Paul is talking about Jesus, who is powerful, and he is wisdom. And how do we know that? Because in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, the Bible talks about Jesus being the wonderful counselor, but also mighty God. So Jesus is wisdom, but he is also power. Isaiah 28 verse 29, wonderful in counsel, but excellent in his workings or how he works. So again, Isaiah's writing, God is wonderful in wisdom. He is the counselor, but also he is excellent. He is powerful in the way that he works. Jeremiah 32 verse 19. Jeremiah says, God is great in counsel, but mighty in work. So again, wise, powerful. And then as we've read in 1 Corinthians already in verse 24, Paul describes Jesus as he's the power of God, but also he is the wisdom of God. Power is not something, it is someone. Yes, right. When we talk about the power of God, we're not speaking about something that is kind of out there in the ether. We're talking about Jesus. Yeah. The power of God is somebody, it is someone. And that's why Paul talks about Jesus is the power of God and he is the wisdom of God. So Jesus knew how to express or release the power of God, but he knew how to do that with wisdom. And when he spoke with wisdom, there was power with it because the two worked together. And we're going to unpack some of this in the next few minutes, okay? But we need to understand power and wisdom, they work together. And that's how often God is described or Jesus is described in the word. Counsel or wisdom, power or might or strength. So let's have a look. We want to look at four ways. There are a lot more than this, but there are four kind of ways this morning that Jesus manifested or demonstrated his power. Now, they're all linked, And I believe God wants to give us a fresh kind of understanding over these next few weeks and months as to who Jesus is in our lives. The power of who he is, the lordship of who he is, the saviour that he is, the healer that he is, the rock that he is in our lives. But not just what that means for us in a meeting, or you know, but what does that mean in our lives? What does that mean expressed through our lives to see other people's lives impacted? Those around us that are both that both know him and people that don't know him at this moment. So let's have a look in John chapter 1 for a moment. First way we're going to look at in terms of four ways in which power is manifested or expressed through Jesus. Let's have a look in John 1 verse 3. Now this verse really describes that everything was created by Jesus. Let's have a look, verse 3 of John 1. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So everything was made through him. So in Genesis, when the Bible says, in the first chapter, God spoke, let there be, then what was happening, Jesus, the Word, or the Word of God was being released. Now we know that Jesus now, or when he, 2,000 years ago, was the Word made flesh, the Word in human form. But in Genesis there, when God spoke, it was the Word, for us it was like Jesus, the Word being released to create and to bring things into being were not as though they were. And so the Bible says, through him, through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. Wow. How creative and how powerful is that, that everything has been made through him. Now let's just go into the next verse in Colossians chapter 1, a couple of verses we're going to look at, 15 and 16 and 17. From that, God speaking his word, everything was created through him, nothing was made without him. It then says, basically, the everything in the universe is upheld by him and is subject to him. What does verse 15 say? It says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, which we've just read, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Wow. There's another verse in the Bible that says that he sustains all things by the power or by the might of his word. So the whole of the universe at this moment is being held in place by the power of God's word. There might be a lot of science around it that people tell us about, but basically the universe, the galaxies, everything is in place and held in place because of the power of God's word. I mean, how powerful is that? How incredible is that? That the power of God's word sustains all things and holds all things in place. So if his word is that powerful, then when he speaks, powerful things must happen. When God acts, powerful things must happen. Because if his word is sustaining all things, what does that mean? His word is inside you and me in terms of the power of who God is and what happens when he speaks to us or when he speaks through us, what power can be released. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? That somehow God has put his power on the inside of us and we're not combusting or exploding. And that's his wisdom, must be holding it all together. But he is the creator. Everything was made through him, by him, and for him to bring him glory. We see that Jesus had lordship or rule and reign over natural things when he was in the boat. The disciples were freaking out one time when they're going across the Sea of Galilee. They thought they were going to drown, and he stood up in the boat and he commanded the wind and the waves to be still, and they weren't still. Another time, the guys were out in their boat going across the Sea of Galilee, and it was quite a stormy time, and Jesus walked on the water. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? How many of you walked on the water recently? He walked on the water. Why? Because he has all supremacy. It was created through him, by him, and for him. So he walked on the water. What else has happened? Fig tree. Remember the time when he went over to get some fruit from it? There wasn't any fruit and he cursed it. The next day when they walked past, they said, wow, that fig tree is withered that you cursed. And it's like everything on earth is subject to him. Everything in the universe is upheld by him, but everything on earth is subject to him. That is his power and his authority at work. Everything is sustained by his word, held in place by his word. He's upholding everything. He has power over the whole of creation. And it's demonstrated by the way Jesus was. He calmed the storm. He walked on water. He could even command a tree to wither and it died. Why? Because everything was in submission to him, because it was created through him, by him, and for him. Wow. Now that power that was at work in him is the same power that is at work in you and I. The same Spirit that was in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the same Holy Spirit that is in you and I right now at this moment. The power that was released for creation to come into place, things to be created and formed and shaped, the power that caused the wind and the waves to be still, the power that enabled him to walk on the water, the power that healed the sick, raised the dead, the power of God that was at work through him is the same power in you and I right now. I think it's phenomenal that Jesus said that I need to go and be with the Father and I'm going to give you the wonderful counselor. It's interesting how in John 14 it talks about the Holy Spirit being the wonderful counselor, the wisdom of God. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive power to be a witness. So he spoke about the Holy Spirit in the same way that Paul does. You're going to receive the wisdom of God. He's going to be your counselor, but you're also going to receive the power of God. Because if you're going to go in my name, you need to go in my power, but you need to go in wisdom so that you know how to release that power so that lives are going to be impacted, lives are going to be changed, and heaven is going to come to earth and things are going to take place. So we have this same power at work in us right now that Jesus had in him. He hasn't just given us a little bit of the Holy Spirit. He's given us his Spirit, the full measure of who he is. He's saying, I want you to do the same things as I've done, but greater things still. Wow, that's Jesus saying that to you and to me. Whoa, that's awesome. We're ambassadors on earth to see what is in heaven released on earth. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. But what does he pray? Pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in the same way that Jesus was an ambassador and fulfilled what the Father wanted him to fulfill, which was to be the Savior, Jesus then says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit in order to take that salvation to the world. So I've brought salvation to the world in terms of making it possible for people to be saved. Now what I want you to do as my ambassadors, and this is why I'm giving you my Holy Spirit, because you're going to need my power over all creation, over every opposition, every principality, every power, everything that you could come against me, that could come against you, every sickness, every opposition, you're going to need the same power that was in me if you're going to have that victory, if you're going to live in victory, and if you're going to fulfill the purpose the Father has for you on earth, in the same way as I fulfill what he's given me to do. So what he's given me in terms of power, the Holy Spirit, to enable me to live it, I'm now going to take that Holy Spirit and give it to you so that you have what you need to fulfill everything that the Father has for you to do while you're on earth. I think that's pretty awesome, isn't it? He doesn't just say, well, here's a little bit of what I had because you can't handle all of it. You know, he says, here's the fullness of who I am. Brilliant. So let's have a look. If he is the power over all creation and everything is subject to him, then let's have a look what we're going to, the next part of what we're going to look at today. Matthew chapter 9, verses 2 to 6. We're going to look at the second thing this morning. Jesus is not just has, but Jesus is the power to forgive sins, to reconcile people back to God. Let's have a look at what it says in Matthew chapter 9. Some men brought to Jesus a paralyzed man or a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Wow. So here's a paralyzed man. Jesus didn't ask him, "What's up with you?" Now, for us, it's quite obvious. Well, Jesus, he's paralyzed. He's lying on a mat and he can't walk. So don't you just want to get on with it and heal the guy? What was more important for Jesus? That the guy's sins were forgiven or that he was healed? Jesus knew if this guy had a revelation that his sins were forgiven, then the healing can follow. So Jesus, knowing that he had the power to forgive sins, why? Because if Jesus' word is sustaining all things, or all things are sustained by the power of his word, when he speaks, things happen. And then what he speaks takes place. So for Jesus to walk to this guy to come to Jesus, and then Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." What gets released out of his mouth at that point? The power to forgive sins. This guy's now forgiven. The religious people, freaking them out. How can you? That's blasphemy. Only God can say that. By saying your sins are forgiven, as basically saying, "I am. I am God right now, forgiving your sins." They didn't like that. And then he said, knowing their thoughts, he said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk?" It's a lot easier to say your sins are forgiven, aren't you? Isn't it? Because, well, not a lot has to happen there. You're forgiven, mate. Brilliant. But to say get up and walk, people are going to say, "Well, let's see if anything's going to happen." But what did Jesus say? "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He's saying, guys, you just need to recognize something here. You need to recognize that I have the power, I am God, I have the power to forgive sins. And in order to show you that, then get up and walk. Because if you can see that happen, then you know your sins are forgiven. That's what Jesus is basically saying in that context. Jesus has the power to forgive sin. John chapter 8, there's a story there where a woman is dragged out in front of Jesus. She was caught committing adultery, and the law says that she should be stoned because of what she was doing. Jesus said, if any of you guys looking around, if you've never sinned, you can throw the first stone. Everybody had sinned. Nobody had the right to throw the first stone. One by one, they all left till it was only the lady and Jesus there. And he says, who has condemned you? And she said, no one, sir. And he said, then neither do I. Now go and leave your life of sin. See, what was Jesus doing then? He had every right to judge her, every right to condemn her according to the law. But his heart was to be one of mercy. So he wanted to exercise the power of forgiveness. And he said, I do not condemn you either. You're forgiven. You're forgiven at that moment. He said, I don't condemn you. You're forgiven. But he did say, but leave your life of sin. So at that moment, what Jesus was doing was wanting to transform her life to know that, look, your sins are forgiven. You can be guilt free. You can go now, but leave your life of sin. Follow me. Jesus has the power to forgive. 1 John 1 verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, if we speak out our sins, confess those to God, it says he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us, or clean us up, from all unrighteousness. Why? Because Jesus is the power to forgive sins. Why is he the power to forgive sins? He created everything through him, for him, or by him, and then for him. We're created to know him. He has the power over all of creation. His word sustains all things. But we're created to have relationship with him, and sin separates us from God. Sin keeps us separated. So God wanted to do something to restore relationship. And so Jesus came as the Savior. He came as the one that had the power to forgive, to make it possible for people like you and I to be saved, to come into relationship with God. So he's the creator. He had a purpose. Everything went out of sync. But then God said, no, I need to restore that. So I'm going to come with the power right now to forgive, to restore, to let you off. Let me off. That's amazing. But then where does it go? If he's forgiving sins, if he's cleaning us up, if we confess them and he's faithful to forgive and sort us out, then he wants to fill us with his life. So Jesus is the power to give life. In John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. So it talks about the life of God as the light of God. When God spoke in creation, he said, let there be light. And suddenly, boom, there was no darkness. But he said, let there be light, and the darkness was dispelled. Jesus is talked about here as the light of men, or the light of life. So when Jesus comes into our life, we come alive. We then come full of this light, full of this life, dispelling every darkness. And so the light of God deals with every sin. So there is no darkness in us in that sense. And so we're full of the light of who he is. So God puts his spirit into people that have been forgiven and have been made right with him. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to share somebody's life with the devil or with the enemy. He says, no, what I'm going to do, I've created you for me, for my purposes, for my glory. I want you to know me, but I'm going to get rid of the darkness, get rid of the sin. I'm going to forgive you, clean you up, get rid of all that rubbish in your life, and then I'm going to put my life on the inside of you so that you can know me, so you can have the light of life on the inside of you. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is describing himself as the life, as the light, as the way, as the truth when he comes into our lives. John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, but I have come to give you life and he's come to give you life and life in all its fullness, or life in abundance, or this overflowing life. So that's God's intention right at the beginning when he created man. I want you to walk with me. I want you to know me. I want you to have this abundant life of who I am. Because he said, I've created you in my image. And he breathed into Adam and brought him alive. And Adam was full of God, full of the breath of God. Because of sin or whatever, God wanted to restore that. And so when we come to him and say, God, forgive me, he cleans us up, forgives us. That's amazing. At that moment, when you ask forgiveness, he does it right there and then. Especially when you do this for the first time, when you give your life to Jesus and become a follower of Jesus, then the life of God comes into you. The Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you, to begin to reveal more of Jesus so that we can walk with him and know him and understand why we're alive, what we're here for, what he wants to do in us and through us in our lives. John chapter 11 verse 25, Jesus again describes himself, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. What is going on there? I am the resurrection and the life. So he was already the resurrection and the life before he went to the cross. So death was bound to be dealt with on the cross, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So there's no way death could get victory over Jesus, because he is life. And therefore, when he hung on the cross, he gave up his spirit. All that stuff didn't kill him. He gave up his spirit, then he died. He rose 3 days later because he is the resurrection and the life. Death couldn't hold him. Sin couldn't hold him. All that other stuff couldn't hold him. Because he is the resurrection and the life. Now we have that resurrection life on the inside of us. So no matter what comes against us, we have the life in us, the gift that enables us to be victorious or to overcome or to push through situations. How? By being sustained by his word because his word sustains all things. So when God speaks into your life and my life, something happens, something is released. So when we have challenges and oppositions and circumstances aren't going our way, what do we hold on to? What is it that we grab hold on to? We take hold of what the word says in our lives. We take hold of the power of that word and say, well, God, your word is more powerful, stronger, and last forever. Therefore, your word can give me victory, can help me to overcome, can enable me to receive my healing or whatever it is, because your word is sustaining me. Because your word is alive, your word is powerful, your word is at work in me. John chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Death couldn't hold his friend down, because Jesus is the power of life. When Jesus speaks, life is released. There was another young guy, several people raised from the dead when you read the Gospels, but it says a story in Luke chapter 7 where a young lad, I don't know how old he is, probably mid to late teens, maybe a bit older, he died. The funeral service was going on out in the streets. Jesus comes across it and he thinks, this isn't good that his mother is left on her own. And so he interrupts the funeral service and said, we'll have a bit of fun round here, and raises the boy from the dead, which doesn't just transform his life or give his life back, but it's going to transform the boy's his mother's life, because now she had somebody who could look after her, who could work and take care of her, rather than her having nobody. You see, when Jesus is around, life is released. When Jesus is around, things happen. But we have the same life. We have his life in us. Jesus isn't on earth any longer, but you and I are. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, we know our position in Christ is that we've been raised to a new life in him, and we're seated with Christ at the right hand of God. So God's here at his right hand. There's Jesus. But the Bible says that you and me are seated at his right hand. Wow, at the right hand of God. So that's our position. And God says to us, I want you to live from that position. That's a position of victory. It's a position of overcoming. It's a position of my life, a position of my power, a position of my authority. I want you to live from that position, because you're my ambassadors on earth. Jesus says, I'm not here any longer. I'm with the Father, but I sent you my Spirit to enable you to do the same things as I have done, but greater things still. Wow. So I give you the power of who I am, my Holy Spirit, but I also give you the wisdom of who I am, the wonderful counselor, so that you can move in power and in wisdom together. It's cool, isn't it? I think God's amazing, don't you? That he's like, we're his ambassadors on earth. We got a mission. We got stuff to do. We got a plan and purpose in God. When I listened to the message from Pastor Colin last week, there was something that he said at one point, and I had this picture that sort of come into my mind as I was listening to this particular part of the message. And I think he said something like this, that God's not here for us, but we are here for God. And that when we come to know him, that we're brought into the body, and therefore we're not here just to do our thing any longer. We're here to do what he wants. We're here to do his thing together. And that God does not have a plan B. He only has a plan A. And what he said was that we are saved by grace, but then there are good works that God wants us to do with that salvation. So he's given us his life and his power, and that blesses us, and that is amazing for us. But also he wants to do something through us. So it's like Jesus multiplied many times. I mean, that's what God wants, isn't it? Jesus said, look, I'm going up to the Father because God wants to multiply something. He wants to multiply his life on earth. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go and be with the Father. And I'm going to pray for you guys, is what he's saying. So I'm going to give you my Spirit who can be in you, and then the kingdom can extend and be multiplied a lot faster, a lot quicker, with loads of us going all over the place, doing all sorts of things. And when I had this picture when he said God only has a plan A, and for our lives, he doesn't have a plan B, he has a plan A. But as we submit to him and walk with him, that will determine how much of what God has planned for us to see happen will happen. So there are loads of good works that he has planned for us to do. Ephesians 2:10 talks about that. He has planned good works for us to do. But how much of that we see is determined by how much we respond or submit or listen or obey what God wants to do. And it's like God, he said, there's only one plan for the church. There's only a plan A for the church. We're all part of that. And what I had in my mind, you know these Olympic swimming pools? And when you're watching the Olympics, they show you shots from the side of the pool, shots from over the pool, so you can see exactly who's in the lead and what's happening, or from the side and what's going on. And as he was talking about this, I had this picture in my mind of an Olympic swimming pool, and it was a shot over the top. And it was like God's purpose is that every swimming lane, everybody's moving together at the same speed to fulfill God's purpose in the church. But sometimes when we're not doing necessarily what God wants to do, you have some that are, you know, a bit further ahead, others that are back here, and somebody's over here, somebody's over there. And then you get points where people seem to accelerate and catch up a little bit, and other times where people seem to just slow down a bit and others move. And it was like this kind of picture of God saying, not that we're a swimming pool, obviously, but that using that an analogy, it was like, well, yeah, actually, God does only have a plan A. He doesn't have a plan B. There are things that he's purposed for us to do. And actually, as a people, if we're like God, I'm here, I'm available, then God's going to move us forward together and fulfill everything that he wants us to be doing on earth. So I thought, man, I want to be fit spiritually so that I don't, you know, get left behind. I want, you know, or whatever it is, you know, I want to make sure I'm being who you've called me to be, and I'm playing the part I'm supposed to play in the body so that it strengthens others, it encourages others. Because you know when you're in a relay team and you're in that swimming thing, what are your other guys in your team doing? They're like, come on, come on, come on. I don't know if, when you're swimming if you can hear anybody cheering or not, but you know when the crowd cheers you on or your team cheers you on, it gets that extra yard, that extra step, that extra few tenths of a second or whatever it is that you need, because everybody's saying, come on, we're in this together, come on, they're championing you. And I believe that's a bit of a picture of how what God has called the church to be like. So he's the creator, he's the power over creation, he's the power to forgive sins, he's the power of life, to give life, the Holy Spirit in us, to enable us to do and to be who he's called us to be. Let's have a look at the fourth thing, because we want to have a bit of time to see God do some stuff. He is also the power to heal. Luke 5 verse 17, the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. He gives sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He cures the paralytic. He restores the withered. He heals the sick and binds up the wounded and heals the wounded. I love God's heart in Luke chapter 5 verse 12, where a guy with leprosy comes up to Jesus and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What a great answer Jesus gives. I am willing. He takes all the if out of it and he says, of course I'm willing. That's my heart. That's the heart of the Father. It's to heal, for you to be whole, for you to live in the fullness. Because remember that the enemy comes to steal, kill and destroy, but I've come to give life and life in all its abundance. My wife's been saying to me recently, Clive, God is pleased with you and God wants to bless you. God is pleased with you and he wants to bless you. And she's been saying this to me. She texts it to me. You know, and I get these texts from my wife and it comes up with, and that's all it says in the text. God is pleased with you and he wants to bless you. So often we look at our expectancy of what God might do to us and we determine it by how we think we're doing or how we feel we're doing. Have I read the Bible enough? Have I prayed enough? Do I feel powerful? Do I think God wants to use me? Does he even like me, let alone love me? And all the stuff that goes on, yeah, this guy says, Lord, if you're willing, and Jesus says, of course I am. I am willing. And he says, be clean. Immediately the guy was well. Then it says in Luke chapter 18, verse 41, I love this bit as well. A blind guy comes up to Jesus, blind guy, okay, can't see. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, on one level, we're going, come on, Jesus, you're supposed to be the counselor and the power. Can't you see he's blind? But who knows? The guy might have said, I want to be forgiven. Jesus was looking, okay, what do you believe? What are your expectation? What are you looking to see happen? So when the guy said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So Jesus knew this guy's ready. He says he just wants to know if I want to do it. He believes I'm going to do it if I'm, you know. And then this other guy says, he says, what do you want me to do for me? He says, I want to see. what does he say to him at that moment? He says, receive your sight. See, God's willing. He's the power to heal. God loves to heal. Jesus loves to do stuff. In Acts 10, verse 38, Peter, when he's writing there, describes Jesus as he was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit and power to go around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. In the Bible here, in the Gospels, the four Gospels, I don't know if you've got a Bible where Jesus' words are in red. There's a few stories about what he did and the things that happened around him. That is not all that Jesus did. Jesus said a lot more than is in the New Testament. How long would it take you to read all the red letters if you read them one after the other, the red bits? Take about an hour and a half. Maybe 2 hours tops. An hour and a half. If you, I think in 3.5 years, Jesus said more than an hour and a half's worth, don't you? There's a few stories in there that about we've just read. He's willing to heal a leper. He healed a guy that was blind. He raised the dead. There's a few little stories. There are some moments where in the Bible where it says the Lord was present to heal the sick, and every person that came to him was healed, cripples and blind eyes and all sorts of things. So there was a lot. But what does John say at the end of his gospel? He said, if everything that was written down that Jesus ever said or did, he then says, I suppose there wouldn't be enough room in the world for all the books that would be written. Whoa. In 3.5 years, that would fill the earth with books of this story, that story, what he did here, what he did there, how that person got healed, that person, whatever happened. The things that he said, man, it was just the amount of stuff that he said. Wow. I believe God wants us to be so much more expectant in our lives and more active with our faith in terms of what he does in and through our lives than we give space for. Sometimes we get excited if one person gets healed, and that'll do us for 6 weeks. Oh, I remember 6 weeks ago when so-and-so got healed. Yeah. But why not have loads of people healed every day? We had there are at least 25 people in the 9:30 service that got healed this morning. All right. That's pretty good, isn't it? And that was everybody praying for each other, which is what we're going to do in a moment. Some of you go, brilliant. Some of you go, oh, really? It's interesting, isn't it, when we hear a message and we can be really excited and we go, yeah, brilliant. Oh, that sounds good. Oh, I'd love to see God move. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then somebody says, we're going to do it right now and you're going to pray. Suddenly it's like, oh, right, I didn't think you meant right now. I just wanted to live with the kind of thing up here of, yeah, that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Great, love to. But then it's like, no, hang on a minute. We're talking about now, today, your life, my life. Not just in a meeting, but today, every day. If there were loads of books that could be written, what does God want to do through many people? Jesus said, you can do the same things as me and greater things still. Wow. And Jesus is multiplied in this room because if you know Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit in you, then we can see the same things as Jesus did and greater things still. That came out of the mouth of Jesus. That wasn't somebody's good idea. And if his word sustains all things and what came out of his mouth was, you can do the same things as I've done and greater things still, then that word is alive. That word is living. That word is powerful. That word is resounding in you right now. You are pregnant with the power of God sitting in that chair. You might not feel it. It doesn't matter. Because the Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. How many believers in the room? If you're a believer, you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we're going to have a bit of a time in a few moments where lots of people are going to get healed. All sorts of things are going to take place in the next few minutes. Jesus healed with a word, didn't he? Something. Be clean. Be healed. Go. Sometimes he just touched a person and it went. Sometimes he didn't touch them, he just spoke. Sometimes he touched and spoke. There isn't a formula to see people healed. But his faith was not in himself, his faith was in God. That's where his faith was. His faith was in God. And that's why he didn't say many things. And our faith, when we step out, is not in how many words we say. Our faith is in the power of who he is. Our faith is in Jesus, the power of God, to touch people's lives. A lot of the time, we'll never feel powerful. Sometimes you feel, I just feel totally inadequate. That's a great place to be. That is a brilliant place to be, because then you know this has got to be God. Because there's nothing, I'm not powerful, but Jesus is. And he's put his life on the inside of you. So in a few moments, we're just going to get up, we're going to stand, we're going to find some other people, we're going to pray, we're going to see some people getting healed. But I want you to keep it really short, really simple, that we're not praying for somebody. So when you get in your groups in a minute, we're not going to lay hands on somebody and say, Father, thank you for John. Thank you that he's a brilliant guy, he's such a great father, great husband, he's an awesome guy. As if we're trying to pray a prayer to convince God that he deserves to be healed. Do you know what I mean? Well, go on, God, go on. He's such a good bloke. Come on, God. You know, he's such a nice guy. He loves everybody and he deserves to be healed. But the Bible doesn't say God does things because we deserve it. The guy said, if you're willing. And Jesus said, I am. He said, what do you want? I want my sight back. Here you go then. Receive it. I believe that's God's heart for us as people. He is more than willing, more than able, and wants to do things. And he wants to do them in us and for us, but he wants to do them through us as well. You know, when you're praying for your unsaved friends, if you pray for somebody that's not a Christian, they don't stand. If you have a chat with them and they say there's something wrong with them, and you say, hey, can I pray for you? I believe God heals today, and I believe if I pray with you that God's going to heal you. Now, sometimes you might get somebody saying, well, I don't deserve anything. God can't forgive me. Sometimes you people live like that and they think they've done stuff that God can't forgive. But a lot of the time when you're speaking to people that don't know Jesus and you say, can I pray for you? They don't do this, do they? No. Well, come on in, hurry up, pray. They stand there with their eyes open. They look at you, don't they? You say, hey, can I pray? And they kind of go, well, all right, if you want. And they kind of look at you. You can't go praying in tongues at that moment. You can't ring Chad or one of the worship team and say, mate, can you just bring your keyboard down here? Just play for a few moments and create a nice atmosphere because I need to pray for my friend to be healed. Jesus didn't have a worship team, did he? He didn't have an iPod or something. He could even put a Hillsong or something like that on. It's like, yeah, their latest album. This is cool. Yeah. Okay, now I'm ready to pray for the sick. No, what the Bible says is the Lord was present to heal the sick. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power to go around and do it. You are anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. To do what? To do good, to do the works, the things that God has called you to do, and also to see people set free from the power of the enemy. Why? Because we're Christ's ambassadors on earth, as if he was here. But he's not here, we're here. And he's given us his Holy Spirit so that we can see and do the same things that he did and greater things still. Yes. So we want to have a go this morning, yeah? The more you do something, the more you'll see. The more you have a go, the more you'll see take place. So let's stand together, shall we? Just find three or four other people. We've got 5 minutes. God can do a lot in 5 minutes. We're not praying long prayers for people. We're just taking authority. Our faith is in God, okay? You might want to get out of your aisles a bit if you need to find a bit more space. Okay? You have the power of God inside you right now. So what I want you to do before you start talking is you don't need to give somebody the history of how long you've been sick, why it's there, what happened. We don't need to know that, okay? All you need to say is if you've got something in your body, could be minor, could be major. All right? For God, it's just something. It's not major or minor in God's mind. So no matter what it is, just say, this is what is the symptoms in my body. Okay? You don't need to say, I am an asthmatic, because that's not the confession over your life. That might have been spoken over your life, or you're an asthmatic, you'll have for the rest of your life. What we want to do is let go of that this morning. Say, no, that's not me. I am not an asthmatic because that's not what Jesus says I am. So I want to line up with what Jesus says. So just say what it is. You know, I have these symptoms or this is what I've been diagnosed with. And then just say, this is what I believe God's going to do now. It might be relieve some of the pain or take some of this away. You might be at the point where you say, I believe God's going to do it right now and all the symptoms are going to go. Great. So what I want you to do, though, somebody in the group then lay hands on their head, Okay, don't just lay hands on the shoulder. We're not praying for people a nice little prayer. You know, well, there you go, mate, bless you. It's like, no, we're taking authority over sickness right now. God does not want the symptoms there. We don't want them there either, do we? So let's take authority over those things, but keep it really simple. Okay, don't pray a prayer for them. Father, thank you for this guy. Bless him in the name of Jesus. No, just lay hands and say, right, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be healed now. Or whatever, or be healed in the name of Jesus, and then ask them how they're doing. Keep it that simple. It's quite unemotional what we're doing right now. We're not feeling our way to heal people. Oh, I just want to feel pastoral for a minute. No, we're getting rid of sickness and kicking it out of people's body, so we're taking authority over it. Is that okay? Yeah. So just rise up in your faith and with authority. Just go around the group one at a time, and as God does something, begin to thank him and praise him for what he's doing. On your marks, get set, go. Thank you, Jesus. You're doing okay? What's happening out there? People getting healed? If you know God's done something, just raise one of your hands. If you know he's been... We had loads of legs and ankle and joint things healed in the earlier meeting. Abby, you got something's happening. Anybody else? You know God's been doing stuff? Okay. Your leg's gone? I hope not. All the pain's gone. It's sorted, is it? Great. Gary. You had a frozen shoulder. That's all a lot for it. Just move it around, mate. Move it around. That's it. Brilliant. Thank you, Jesus. Great. Abby, what was... Sore throat. That's gone, is it? Great. Other people, what's God been doing? There's bound to be some other things. Yeah, at the back. Yeah. Pain's gone in the knee. Great. Excellent. Other people? Just keep going for a few minutes. If there's other people, don't spend long praying. You're not praying for the person, okay? Just take authority over it. You can do that in 3 seconds, 4 seconds. We want to encourage you. We need to grow our faith in who God is, not in how many words we say or what we do. Because we get all spiritual, emotional, and kind of, oh, we've got to do this nicely. No, no. Jesus didn't spend loads of time. He just said, be clean, be healed, and it was done. We're exercising authority in the name of Jesus now as God does things in people's bodies. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you know other stuff's happening? Just raise your hand. Alan, what's happening with you, mate? Your knees are sorted. Great, brilliant. Other people? What else is happening? Other people know God has done something in their body? Yeah. Your back, what was wrong with it? What was wrong with your back? Right, so all the pain's gone at the top of your back. Great, brilliant. Thank you, Jesus. Anything else? Other things. What are we doing? We're wanting to line up on earth what is released in heaven. So is our response, well, maybe not a lot happens, so it doesn't really work. So we don't want to live on what's happening on earth. We want to say, okay, God, I want to take hold then of what you say. You want the same on earth as it is in heaven. So we want to pursue praying for the sick. We want to pursue seeing things happen mentally, physically, emotionally. We want to keep stepping out and keep going, you know. The more you have a go, the more you're going to see take place. Amen. You remember, you have the power of God inside of you. You have the light of life on the inside of you. God wants to encourage our faith, build our faith, and to see him do more and more in our everyday lives as we pursue him, as we follow him. Amen. I mean, let's give God a shout of praise, shall we? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.